is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's a pod.
Good night.
We do not discriminate. You listen whenever you damn well please.
Oh my goodness.
It's all a download for us.
God, he is firing today. It's because you've finally been exposed for your true identity.
I will not confirm nor deny the salacious rumour that I, Guy Clifton, am in fact masquerading as a radio announcer.
Yeah.
And come this time every year, I transform into one Christopher Kringle.
Kringle.
That's the accusation.
St. Nicholas, yeah. Santa Claus. I have been collecting evidence for the last 12 months without you even knowing. I thought nothing got past Santa Claus, but apparently this did.
Well, hey, what can I say?
Mm-hmm.
Other than ho, 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 you're on the naughty list.
Oh, no.
That's coming up. We asked the question, how many wedding dresses did you try on? Because Bronte's been listening into other people's
conversations
yeah, as
again,
you do.
On the naughty list.
And another game of corny Christmas movie, Two Truths and a Lie.
I love this game.
It's just proving that Christmas movies, the plot's kind of flimsy. Anyone can write them.
The proof, even producer Beck.
Even producer Beck. It's coming up on the pod.
Yes, he is. Santa Claus is on his merry way. About 25 days to go until Christmas. And there's just something that I would like to bring to the show. I've been thinking about it for a while. It's been in the rumor mill, but I now believe I have enough evidence to present my case to the court.
Right. You've got enough evidence. We are ready to present it to the judge and jury for trial.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this because you're the suspect in this case. Because I, Bronte Langbrook, truly believe that you, Guy Clifton, are Santa Claus.
What are you talking about?
It started as a joke, and now there's just too much evidence.
Did this start when, like, what, 2 months ago when I started to grow the beard? and I have talked about this on air. Like, it's not the first time I've had a beard, but this incarnation of the beard does have massive white patches.
Mm.
It's the first time that's ever occurred.
That is part of my dossier of evidence. But
let's be honest, too. I've always had the jolly kind of body of one Santa Claus as well.
Look, I didn't want you can bring that to the case, but I have a mountain of other evidence that I have been collecting.
Oh my God.
Just to present, and you can confirm
She's
or deny.
She's held up her phone. There's like a whole notes page full.
My Santa evidence began when this time last year, I don't know if you remember, but you were sick. You had to take the last week off the show, or maybe it was the week leading up, but you also weren't here for the last week of the show. That was because of a family emergency.
Yeah, that's right.
You were then sick at the same time this year, which to me just seems a little bit suspicious considering it's 3 to 4 weeks before Christmas. And I imagine for one Mr. St. Nicholas, that would be quite a busy time.
So you think that tonsillitis thing, just an excuse?
Mm.
Cool. You were very sympathetic when I sent the message, but okay, cool.
While discussing your feelings around certain people, which I believe was actually you were talking about Beck and myself, producer Beck, you revealed that you considered us to be on the good list, which, I don't know, another synonym for good, people would argue could be nice.
Right.
And there's only one person that I know has a naughty and nice list. It's Santa Claus.
See, this is starting to stack up.
You've hinted at even playing Santa Claus in store a couple of times, which we know is only a coveted role for Santa's closest friends. Or if you're lucky enough, you go on the actual day Santa is there, which you've done.
All right.
You love kids. You're very jolly.
Well, I love my kids.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say all kids.
Your beard has a touch of white.
Yes.
You wear glasses.
Yes.
You look great in red.
Yeah.
You actually volunteered at a local toy librarian drive earlier in the year.
You do that.
We wanted to have Santa on the show this week before we finish up, the actual, or maybe you, and you said, leave it with me because I have connections.
Yeah. What do you think I'm going to do, the old Mrs. Doubtfire? Like in as me then? Back at Santa.
And I just noticed that you always have notebooks. You're always taking lists. You're very reflective of people's behaviour, deciding if they're naughty or nice. And that, sir, is
look,
my
it's a very,
presentation.
It's a very, I've got to say, it's you put some hard yards in there. I will say, if I'm St. Nicholas, you'd have to be my favourite elf. And I have noticed the top of the ears getting a little bit pointy, if you know what I mean.
I would like to dedicate the next 3 or so minutes to the laundry legends out there. The people who are facing on a regular basis Mount Washmore, they have to climb that mountain alone with no help from anyone else.
It must be
in the
so
family.
Hard. I'm a single gal, like I live alone kind of thing. The only washing I have to do is my own. Yeah. I can delay that as long as I want. You have a family.
It's so funny too, like anyone with a newborn will tell you this. The smaller the kid, the more laundry they go through too, which is crazy. But what has brought this to my attention is a little sitch from across the weekend involving the towels that we use after we shower. So mine and my wife's towels, they hang in the bathroom, and the kids have like one of those Kmart ladder things.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
a
yeah.
decorative ladder
yes.
where they air their towels. So everyone in the house, when it came to washing time on the weekend, had used one towel. We wash towels probably once a week.
Yeah.
So there's one bathroom average. Towel for the whole week, right?
Yeah.
Because you hang it out, you use it one shower a day.
Exactly.
It's all fine. Except there was one person in the house that didn't use one towel for the week. They used a lot more. To explain it, I hit record with my 9-year-old daughter, Matilda. How many towels did Dad use last week?
One.
How many towels did Mum use last week?
One.
How many towels did Charlie, your brother, use last week?
One.
How many towels did you use last week?
Seven.
I'm going to start calling you Princess Matilda, princess of all the towels.
Yes, that'll be nice, thank you.
Seven towels.
So what happened was I was going around picking up all the towels and, Charlie had one, I had one, Mish had one. I go into Matilda's room and she's just using them and then, like, throwing them in her dirty laundry hamper. So she's obviously, it's been a week, so she's obviously used the new towel every day. Then I quizzed her further. I'm like, why? And she's like, I just like the crispy, like the freshness of a fresh towel, Dad.
What? Like, if you hang it out after one use, it's still pretty fresh. And crispy.
You're preaching to the converted.
Oh my God.
I had a list of reasons. I mean, number one, I don't want to do all this washing, Matilda.
Oh my God.
Like, so we had a real, like, serious sit down chat about this. Like, this has to change. This has to stop now. But it got me thinking, and I want to open the phones 13 1060. I want to ask the question, when did your kids just take the piss? Laundry edition, okay? Because I feel like kids taking the piss, there could be many facets and many themes. Like, this could be an ongoing thing, you know, nearly on a daily basis we could ask this question.
Yeah.
But just have a think. When did your kid just take the piss, but in the world of laundry?
Because they don't do it. So most children don't do laundry. Their laundry is just done for them. That's don't understand that if they wear something once and they throw it down the laundry chute, that's not actually really annoying for you who has to wash it.
Actually, going to be honest, I took the piss laundry edition once when I was visiting. I went back home. And I'd been on the drink with some mates or whatever. I was home at Christmas time. And I remember I sort of stumbled home or whatever. I got Nudie Rudy, had a shower and just threw my clothes on the mum's bathroom floor or whatever. And I still remember I woke up the next morning, they were washed and they were folded at my front door.
Oh, Cliff.
I think she just, you know,
wanted them out.
Enjoyed it. No. Mother of a little boy, you know?
She's the best.
So I've taken the piss. So I shouldn't throw stones. But 13 1060, have a think. Laundry edition. Focus on laundry. We've got Chantel first up. Chantel, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Please don't tell me you're going to defend my daughter's position on seven dirty towels.
Only when I was little. I would kill my kids if they did that to me now.
Okay. So you did it. You were the Matilda.
I was the Matilda until I was like 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you help me sort of get into the mind frame and understand this? Because I think what Bronte said before the music and the ads in there was right. If you hang it up, it will, like, we live in Queensland.
It'll be fresh.
It will dry.
Yeah.
So why a new towel every night?
Well, see, I lived up far north, so it was always wet.
True.
So a fresh towel every night was just nice. But now that I'm living here, no, we'll use our towel, you know, once a week, and then we'll wash them. And
Has
yeah,
100%. It's funny too that your position changes when you're the one doing the washing.
Yeah, so interesting.
100%. Like, hell, I want to wash that many then. Tell
that. We talk about weather and humidity and all that. Let's just not brush over the fact that you're now doing the washing.
Cheeky.
Darren's here. Darren, when did your kids take the piss in the laundry?
Just about every single night. You've struck a nerve with this one. Uh-oh. Jammies.
Jammies.
Pajamas.
What are they doing?
Every single night, babe.
Multiple wears.
Yep, they just chuck them on the floor. Doesn't matter if I go in there before they finish their bath.
Yep.
I put them on their bed. They'll still go to their drawers and get another set of jammies out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And then by the end of the week, there's five sets of jammies on the floor.
What happens, Darren, if you just fold up those jammies that they don't want to wear and put them back in the drawer? Or they're too
that's
smart.
That's what I need to start doing.
Yeah,
that's,
you're like,
that's
how
do you put responsibility back on the parents, Bronte? Like, if you did something different, maybe
pick
it would be better.
Pick the childless one.
Need to ask you some questions. Righto, it's 1:50 Wednesday, so $150 on the line. Mad Dog Matt is about to go on a cruise. Did you just hear the story Bronte told about the spider?
Peruvian wolf spider, Matt.
In the tow, Matt?
I do, and I did, sorry, and I don't plan on going anywhere near Peru.
Well, yeah. He was in Paris, so he wasn't anywhere near Peru either. I think spiders can travel, I don't know.
Where are you going, Matt?
Oh, just the usual suspects, just the South Pacific stuff, mate.
Yeah, there's spiders there, brother, so watch out.
I'll spend my winnings on protective socks.
Some compression socks.
Matt's a man with a plan.
All right, I like it.
All right. Bronte, you get into the soundproof booth for you, Matt. You'd be needing the money for onboard spending, I'd imagine, mate. So let's rack up.
Money away for it, mate.
Oh, good stuff. I love cruising, mate. I hope you love it.
I do.
All right, mate, let's try and get you a bit more cash anyway. 30 seconds on the clock, 5 questions. Your time. Hold on, let me get the questions. That'll be helpful. Your time starts now. Who sings Drop It Like It's Hot with Snoop Dogg?
Katy Perry.
How many reindeer does Santa have?
12.
George Russell is known for what sport?
Soccer.
Which company published the game Mario Kart?
Nintendo.
Which country's flag is red with a white cross in the middle?
Sweden.
Okay, that's 5. 5 answers. I had about 4 seconds to spare there, Matt, so how are you feeling? Confident?
Nah, not really.
Not really? A couple of guesses there?
Yeah, a couple.
Guesses can pay off.
Okay.
We'll get Bronte in. Same 5 questions, same 30 seconds. Brontosaurus.
Hello, how'd Mad Dog Matt go?
Mad Dog Matt. We had fun. Talked a bit more about cruising. Where are we going?
Cruising?
Well, maybe. That might be what is coming Matt's way right now.
All right.
30 seconds on the clock. You ready?
Yeah.
Good luck. Your time starts now. Who sings Drop It Like It's Hot with Snoop Dogg?
Kanye West.
How many reindeer does Santa have?
9.
George Russell is known for what sport?
F1.
Which company published the game Mario Kart?
Nintendo.
Which country's flag is red with a white cross in the middle?
Switzerland.
Yeah, that's 5 answers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
5 answers, innit? Oh, yeah, innit?
That's about five answers, innit?
A cup of tea.
All right. Matt, you still with us?
Yeah.
Righto, producer Beck, how did we go?
All right, guys. So who sings Drop It Like It's Hot with Snoop Dogg? Matt said Katy Perry. It is Pharrell Williams.
Oh.
Both got that wrong.
How many reindeer does Santa have? Actually, I had to check this one because it
sing
is
the song?
9,
yeah.
Which is what Bronte said. Matt said 12. So Bronte got that one right. George Russell is known for what sport? Formula One. Matt said soccer. Bronte got that one right. Which company published the game Mario Kart? It was Nintendo, so both of you got that one right. And the flag with the white cross is Switzerland. Matt said Sweden. So Bronte got 4 and Matt got 1.
Matt, you knew it started with SW. It was on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah, I'm planning on getting bitten a few times by some spiders.
Oh, okay. Don't take the loss too hard.
Cruising for that bruising, weren't you, mate?
No, I'll easily forget it after a couple of popped up.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, you're the real winner, mate. You're going on the cruise.
Bye, Matt.
Bye, Matt. So we'll keep the 150. It's 200 Thursday. And your last chance.
That's it.
To play for the year tomorrow.
Yep.
Because we have something special planned for Friday.
Yes,
so
we do.
It's 200 or nothing tomorrow morning.
Monday, 27 days, so what, 25 days?
That's some sick maths there, Langan. 25 days, 16 hours, 18 minutes, and 45 seconds.
It is on its way, Christmas Day, and in the lead up, a lot of original kind of Netflix, Hallmark movies are available for streaming. Just super corny storylines, and you made the call that you think anyone can make a Christmas movie storyline.
Flimsy, like easy thing to say, easy to really just throw that out there without backing it up. Mm. My way of backing it up was to come up with a game.
Yes.
And this happened on Monday. I presented you with three plots.
Yeah.
Two of them you can actually stream right now.
Yes.
On different streaming services. One I made up. I thought if Bronte can't pick the lie, that's proof that any of us can come up with a corny Christmas movie plot.
And unfortunately, you were proven right.
Oh, Big Cliff was proven
you
correct.
You were proven absolutely correct. And we liked it so much, we want to do it all over again. This time, producer Beck.
Yes, it's my turn to come up with a little fakey Christmas plot for you guys.
Yep, yep.
So same deal. Two of these are real.
Yeah, and you can stream them on Netflix at the moment.
Okay.
And one's fake.
And one is a fake. All right, so let's do it. This first one is called Hometown Christmas. Dumped by her boyfriend before Christmas, Lucy is forced to return to her small hometown for the holidays, where she rediscovers her love for music and hate for her childhood nemesis, Tyler.
Oh, that's very Christmassy.
Yes.
Oh, there's always a Grinch. I said that the other day.
Okay.
There's always a Grinchy element thrown in.
Tyler.
Okay, so this one is called Catering Christmas.
Catering
Christmas.
So what was the first one? Hometown Christmas.
Hometown Christmas.
Catering Christmas.
When a struggling caterer agrees to cook for the local foundation's Christmas gala, she finds an unexpected connection with the host's handsome nephew.
Of course she does.
Of course she does.
He's a prince as well, secretly, no?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, but I don't know if you've thrown the lie in there yet. But so far, very plausible, both of them.
Okay, this is the last one. Okay. This one is called Home for Christmas.
No.
Again, home. Tired of the constant comments on her relationship status, perpetually single Joanne starts a 24-day hunt for a boyfriend to bring home for Christmas.
Oh, see, I like that one too because there's a countdown element.
Oh, like, there's my a bit of pressure God. In.
Which one's the fake one, guys?
They're all so believable. Hometown Christmas, Catering Christmas, or Home for Christmas?
I'm going to say Catering Christmas and Home for Christmas are the two real ones because I feel like they've got the extra element thrown in there with the catering and the hot nephew or whatever.
The
countdown, like I've got, you know, there's pressure to find the boyfriend before the day.
Yep.
I think you've come up with Hometown Christmas.
Okay,
the first one.
I think you've come up with Catering Christmas only because in what world does someone call a movie Catering Christmas? And I know the plot is believable, but I just don't think they would have called
a
movie Catering Christmas.
It's a pretty paper-thin title.
Okay, well, I can confirm that the fake movie is Hometown Christmas.
Good enough to option Netflix.
I should start making Christmas movies.
We all should. I shouldn't, mate, though. I'm bad at this
game. I think my four-year-old son could make Christmas movies.
This is your Sick Fix at 6.
Possibly the last Sick Fix at 6 for the Cliffo and Bronte show.
It starts not all bad.
So
the show's coming to an end. There are some positives.
Thought I'd go out.
You're hanging around on it.
Oh, I'm going to keep this. Definitely.
Sick Fix at 6 will make its return in 2024.
I just wanted to make sure that you got one before we finished
up. Oh, thank you.
I saved the best for last. The most disturbing for last.
Going out on a grossy high. Yes.
Because I have a story about a man named Colin Blank, who was...
I'm disgusted already.
You'll be very jealous. He was on a cruise in France celebrating his 35th wedding anniversary when he noticed that his toe seems to be changing colour. It turned a weird shade of purple. It started to swell.
Sounds like frostbite.
Sounded like something was wrong. Well, he was on a cruise. He said he was really enjoying it. It was a beautiful cruise down the Seine in Paris and was just really enjoying this time, but his toe was giving him a bit of grief. So he decided to go visit the ship's doctor to get it checked out, where he was not only informed that he had been bitten by something, but it turned out that he had been bitten by a Peruvian wolf spider. The doctor believed the spider had laid eggs in his toe, and after doing that, the spider eggs had hatched and started eating its way out of his toe.
Not the Peruvian as well.
The Peruvian.
Like, of all the spiders that are going to burrow into you,
yeah,
lay their eggs only for them to hatch and then try and claw their way out.
Eat their way out of their toe, yeah.
You got to watch out for.
I don't know, mate. Do you want this sucker crawling out of your toe? I'm just showing Clavel a photo. That's a big boy.
I've seen worse things on cruises, Bronte. Don't you worry about that. Alpha Bucks is back after 8 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, November 30. We're getting close to December 1, mate.
Did you say Thursday?
Well, I'm thirsty for a winner, my friends.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it has been dry.
Oh, it's so right. We've been wanting to get a winner. We want to get a few before we finish up for Friday. But here's a free answer for tomorrow. Yeah. It is Tina Arena.
Ooh. Oh, I think we're going to go with Turner.
No.
But that's okay.
But
Tina Arena.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in chains. There you go. Tina Arena for you.
Oh, I thought that was actually her. Wow. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah, just a grab ready to go. T your letter. Tina Arena, your free answer for tomorrow's Alphabox.
I was sitting at our desk out in the bullpen just the other day listening to what was going on around the halls, a.k.a. eavesdropping on some conversations I'm not part of.
When you say it like this, it sounds like it's a pretty positive thing, but really, just listening in other people's combos.
A little bit. It was happening in the kitchen, which is kind of near our desks, and it was a couple of gals in the office, and I still don't really know what the context of the conversation was, but I did take one thing away from it. They were talking about trying on wedding dresses. And I believe one of the gals in the office is currently in the midst of trying on some wedding dresses. And it was the amount of dresses that had been tried on so far that I thought, I wonder if that's a regular amount. This is not something I have any history with.
I am a marriage celebrant, but have very little to do with that side of marriages.
Mm.
I feel like it's like an extreme one way or the other thing. Like, I feel like you have a fantastic experience and the dress comes on.
Yep.
Doves fly and the heavens open up and that's the dress you're meant to be married in.
Yeah, you cry.
Or it's a horror story where, you know, you change your mind and you're waiting on a dress to be delivered a couple of days out from the wedding and it's just a horror story.
Or even just trying to find the dress. One of my favourite shows growing up was like Say Yes to the Dress, and I just love watching people on TikTok trying to find wedding dresses. But one of the girls said that she had tried on five or six wedding dresses. And to me, that seemed like a lot.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot. Okay. I feel like if you're looking for any kind of event, if you're looking for a dress for any kind of event, buy dress five or six. You're like, I am exhausted. Yeah. If I can't find something after five or six, I'm not going.
So they give you champagne.
Yes, true.
Nice stiff drink.
That's so true. But what I want to know on 131060, maybe that's not even that much. How many wedding dresses did you try on before you found the one?
This is a completely uneducated opinion, but I feel like five or six would just be standard, wouldn't it?
You think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. Again, I don't know. I've seen people go on those TV shows and they're like, I've tried on 100 dresses and I still haven't found, which I just can't imagine your morale after that. You'd just be so exhausted. So, yeah, maybe 5 or 6 is average.
Look, again, boyfriend Dylan. Again, she's talking about weddings and marriage. This has happened a lot.
He knows.
The last few weeks, brother.
He knows
like
what's
up. If you're not taking the hint. 13 10 60, give us a call.
Yeah.
Because you've got someone here who's never been engaged. And you've got someone who's a bloke.
Mm. Do you know how 13, many Mish 10, 60, tried on?
No idea.
Yeah, interesting.
Just knows she looked beautiful the day I married her.
Good job.
Still one of the best decisions I ever made.
Good.
Fooled
job.
Her. Got her in hook, line, and sinker. 13, 10, 60. We'll go to Narelle first. Narelle, how many wedding dresses did you try on?
It wasn't me. It was my daughter. I went dress shopping with her.
Mm-hmm.
She walked into the shop, spotted a dress, tried it on, fitted perfectly, and that was it.
No.
Absolutely beautiful. We both cried. It was gorgeous.
One and done. And she wasn't like, she didn't feel like she had to keep looking. She was a bit nervous.
No.
Oh, she just.
Not at all. That was it. It was just beautiful.
Oh.
I feel, Narelle, that that's almost like a freak occurrence. Like, I feel like that can't the majority of women.
I think so. And she's somebody that doesn't make decisions very well either. So it was really surprising to me.
Meant to be.
Meant to be.
When you know, you know. You know?
I know. I know Katie's here. Katie, how many dresses was it for you?
I probably tried on 5 or 6 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what we thought would probably be about.
So I knew what I wanted, but I went in full of excitement, gave everything a shot. You're only get married one time.
Yep. And
unless you get remarried.
Where in the...
Let's hope not.
Was the final dress number 6, that was the one you ended up choosing?
It was. I went back and I got it and lived happily ever after.
Oh, Katie.
Very sweet. From Katie to Catherine. Oh. How many dresses for you, Catherine?
About 8.
8 dresses. How many over how many trips did you do the 8?
It was actually just the one trip.
Oh, gosh.
Was it exhausting?
Painful? Yeah. So what was number 8 the dress?
No, actually number 1 was the dress.
Oh, wow.
What? Did you try it on and you were like, this is it, but you were too scared to commit to the first?
I was like, I want to keep looking. I just in case. And then,
You need to be as decisive as our first caller.
Yes, exactly.
One, done.
One and done.
Taylor's here. Taylor, let's end on you. How many wedding dresses did you try on?
Across a few shops, I've tried 41.
Excuse me?
I do like dress shopping, so I tried on as many as I could.
Are you even engaged, or are you just trying on 41 dresses for fun?
I am engaged, yes, and I have found the one, but 41 dresses.
Wow.
Just like dress, that's like saying I like quarter pounders, but I'm not going to eat 41 of them. Bronte, I've often said that children should be born with instructions, maybe printed on a tag on their back.
Like on a T-shirt.
Do not wash, do not tumble dry. That kind of thing.
Okay, good.
Because there's certain things with kids you just learn to accept. And one of them that's always been a thing with both my daughter and now my son, my daughter's 9, my son's 4, is that they are always hungry, yet they never want to eat their dinner.
What you're presenting them.
What a weird little paradox that is.
And it must be so annoying as a parent because you have to feed them or else they'll die.
They wither.
Yeah. You get in trouble.
It's actually an argument you have with yourself and them every single day. Like 365 days a year. It's a thing. And yesterday afternoon, I was in the pool with my kids when my daughter is always the first to ask what's for dinner. Mm-hmm. She'll ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
And I answered with sausages.
Oh, yum.
And you and I are both sausage people.
Absolutely.
We designed the whole Queensland best sausage thing. We've often talked about our love for sausages. I just said sausages is what's for dinner. And then my son, whenever we have sausages, like I say, probably once a week or so, my son's next question is red or brown?
Red or brown?
Because for him, there's only 2 types of sausages. There's red sausages, which are hot dogs, like a little cocktail frankfurts or whatever. They're red sausages. Or there's brown sausages, which are just normal sausages.
Regular sausages.
Plain thin sausages cooked on the barbecue.
Right.
And I did a little test because I knew no matter what I was going to say, he was going to say disgusting.
Really?
Because he can't say disgusting because he's 4.
Okay.
So whenever he's unimpressed with what's for dinner, he'll say, oh, disgusting.
Would either, like, is there a day he does prefer red sausages or brown sausages?
No.
Like, he just...
just hates dinner, whatever it is.
He hates hot dogs?
I did a little... Well, he just hates the idea of dinner. He'd rather eat Oreos, you
Naturally.
Know? So last night, or yesterday evening or whatever, in the pool, I did a little test. So when Matilda goes, oh, what's for dinner? I said, sausages. He says, red or brown? Mm. And it was brown. So I said, oh, brown. And he goes, disgusting. And I said, oh, no, actually, it's red.
Yeah.
And then I waited for the inevitable. Oh, disgusting. Then I thought, how long could I go on for? I said, no, they're brown. He goes, disgusting. No, they're red. Disgusting. So no matter what.
So no matter what.
I couldn't win.
Oh, my God.
The sucky thing is, too, it's hard to get mad at him because, looking at a hot dog and that weird mystery meat that's in there, he's wrong. Not wrong.
Like, it is a bit.
They are a bit disgusting.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.